It's another week in the life of a Philadelphia Eagle fan. And if you're among those that consider yourself a Philadelphia Eagle fan, welcome to our club. This is the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Leah and Tubby, coming to you on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch, and also on all of our podcast providers, Spotify, as well as Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Castro, Stitcher, and so many others. Coming off of a victory against a dominating victory over the Titans on Sunday. So without any further ado, let's let the music play. Considering that we only played that song nine times last year, this has been, no matter what happens from here on out, this has been an unbelievable year. We kind of saw it coming in the preseason. We talked about the schedule and the moves that Howie would make, and a lot of people would have thought we were crazy, but we kind of saw that this could happen with the Eagles being as good as, I don't think we saw that they were going to be this good. We thought that they could win a lot of games, but I don't know if we thought they could be 35-10 over the Tennessee Titans good. Because let's face it, Tennessee Titans were really good in the playoffs for the last few years. They've got Derrick Henry, one of the best running backs in the NFL, if not the best running back in the NFL. Definitely all-time, you know, leading rusher right now of his era. Tannehill was playing. It wasn't like we were facing a backup. They have some injuries. Let's not be, you know, we'll be kind, but no one expected, I think, the Eagles to come out and dominate like they did 35-10. And let's even be even nicer. It was a kind, because by the fourth quarter we pulled all our starters. You know, they could have been a lot uglier if the Eagles wanted to play around and get some practice in, because the Titans could not stop Jalen Hurts and company. And there it is. I mean, unbelievable to be 11-1 and play Fly Eagles Fly 11 times this season, and we still got several games to go. We still got five games to go. Five games to go. Three on the road, two at home coming up. That was our last home game for a while against the Titans, but we're going to go on the road for three straight. But it's great to get those wins. Like we said in the preview for the Titans, we need to win this game at home. I didn't think it was going to be 35-10. We both thought it was going to be a closer game than that, but it wasn't. So when you're thinking back on Sunday, and we text each other during every game, what's the one word that comes to mind for you when you look back on Sunday's game?
Another one. Just another way we've beaten another team, man. Just another. I think just saw that the Eagles are like the first team in like 90 years to throw for 350 and then rush for 350 and then throw for 350 the next week. Especially in a oh, there you go. Boom. In a riddle game.
I always got you.
Good old Field Yates. But yeah, in a game just riddled with flags, I thought it was perseverance as well, too, because they could have easily got down on themselves really early in that game. And yeah, man, 11-1. I think both of us kind of predicted around 12-13 wins.
Yeah.
This season. So still a lot of football to be played left. We still haven't reached 12 wins yet. We still haven't reached 13 wins yet. So let's keep our head down, keep doing what we're doing, man.
Yeah, and like you said, this stat that we just brought up of the graphic shows the Eagles are just the third team in the last 90 seasons. Let's repeat that. The Eagles are just the third team in the last 90 seasons to rush for 350 plus yards and then pass for 350 plus yards in back-to-back games. They're the sixth team ever with 20 plus passing TDs and 20 plus rushing TDs through 12 games. Oh, and by the way, they're second in total defense at 296 yards per game. So what does that say to you when you look at that stat? It means that the Eagles are not one-dimensional. You know, they and we've talked about it last week, and it's kind of funny when we talk about these things and they come true. When we talked about the Green Bay game, we knew going in Green Bay had a weak run defense and that the Eagles needed to exploit that, and they did. We talked about the Titans defense. They're strong against the run. So it was like I was saying, they're but they were like down at the bottom, 29th in the league against the pass. So what do you, the Eagles see this, and so they came out, they I mean, literally, the Eagles weren't even thinking run. They had a couple of runs, I think, in their second possession, feeling out the Titans. And it didn't go well because then they didn't get a lot of yards on the ground, and then Hurts threw a bad pass. But they were just feeling them out. And when they realized that Tennessee was going to play kind of a soft man, similar to Gannon's soft shell, they were playing a soft man, which teams, I mean, I'm surprised more teams don't eat them up. I'm surprised Cincinnati didn't eat that soft coverage up, because, and maybe it's just the Eagles, because having Jalen Hurts throw into Devontae and A.J. Brown, because those guys were able to get open against that man coverage and almost like by themselves, like, I mean, no one around them type wide open, which was insanity when you're playing an Eagles team and you give them that. But yeah, it was a performance that I was surprised and enjoyed, thoroughly enjoyed. Now there was a negative, and that was the flags. Like you said, that this, you know, the fact that they won 35-10 when there was so many penalties against the Eagles and some against the Titans as well. I forget how many false starts. I stopped counting it around 6 or 7. They had 2 on the first drive alone. It seemed like they kept shooting themselves in the foot and then bailing themselves out afterwards, which was just the fact that they kept bailing themselves out after the bad penalties, because it was frustrating. But then it was like, we still got a first down. So, yeah, we might have been first and 15 3 times on that drive, but man, they got the first downs each and every time. It's crazy.
They're padding their stats. That's exactly what's going on. They're just padding their stats, man. That's why Jalen had over 200 yards passing in the first half.
Unbelievable.
Because of all of those mistakes, they just kept overcoming them. That's why I use the word, you know, perseverance, because there's a lot of, I mean, we've benefited from some too. We benefited from the underthrown ball to AJ. It's always unfortunate for the corner when he has to come back. It's such a weird call. But we know it's the call, because you also just can't take a guy out either.
Right.
Because the ball was underthrown. He still has to have access to the ball, and you weren't even going for it and just took him out. So yeah, keep your head up on the swivel as well too.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, that was one I was like, well, really the only one I thought that we got, fortunately. I think we got one early with the, when old buddy just fell on Jalen 94. I don't remember his name, but. And we got the call, like, man, that's soft. But
personal foul, yeah.
I thought the call was a little soft, but I'm thinking, well, this ref is also standing here, and I think he sees the intent of the defender. He knew Jalen was down. He just wanted to lean on him or get an extra hit in, and I think he wanted to set the tone very early that you're not even going to be able to do this, because Jalen was already down. Guy was not making a tackle. He just wanted to fall on him.
Right.
And it cost him 15. So just wanted to make that note.
You know, if they're going to call Brendan Graham for sliding into Taylor Heinicke, then they definitely got to call what they called against Jalen Hurts. That's all I'm saying. Because Brendan Graham did not slide into Heinicke in that Washington game with intent to injure. So this was clearly, yeah, what it was. But you're right. The A.J. Brown P.I., they don't call face guarding anymore. So where the defensive back was at fault was that he made the contact. And AJ's trying to come back to the ball, but we're going to get into AJ in just a minute. The first drive though was all Devontae Smith. I mean, the outside run that he had where he just made the corner look foolish, where he cut back in and had a big play. They throw to Gainwell, and then right off the bat, I mean, on the Eagles' first possession, the deep ball to Devontae Smith at the end zone, and he falls in. It's a great way to start a game. The Eagles have been doing that a lot lately. We talked about it, about them getting behind. So even though they didn't get the ball to start the second half, they get it to start the first half, and you have to score there. And I thought that the first drive was masterful. And then to turn around and you know, we're facing Derrick Henry. how was the defense going to be? Well, it's going to be pretty good because they went 3 and out in their first possession. They lined up to stop the run. It wasn't until after that the Eagles get the, like I mentioned, they get the ball back and had the 2 runs, 1 to Sanders. Hurts tries to run, doesn't get much. And then Hurts, if Hurts doesn't throw in the dirt there because it was a missed throw, that drive could have continued, and there could have been a score there. As it was, they punted. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they punted.
It was just a missed throw, yeah.
Yeah, it was right into the ground. And so Titans get the ball back in the first quarter, and this is where I started initially to get a little frustrated, and it was the Gannon defense again. Now, this isn't, to me, it wasn't so much, we talk about scripted plays on here, and you definitely say that, okay, well, a team's first drive is a lot of scripted plays, so you can't really look at it too much. But this, to me, wasn't that. It was more of Gannon in his shell coverage with his back to Tannehill and nobody covering the middle of the field. And they were so focused on covering the receivers that it was leaving Tannehill open for these scrambles, which was ridiculous. Consider the guy has a gimpy leg and we're letting him run. And one of them was on 4th and 7. That's inexcusable to let a gimpy quarterback beat you on 4th and 7. There's just no excuse for it. So I was getting frustrated on that drive for the Titans because every game, I mention it all the time, is you never know what you're going to get out of Jonathan Gannon. Now, let's just be, after they scored a trail on Burks, who gets laid out, unbelievable, yeah. The guy that they drafted to replace A.J. Brown, made a great catch. I don't know how he held on to the ball.
Kept that drive alive, too. Remember, 3rd and 4, Josh Sweat jumps offside to extend.
Oh, yeah.
I think that gave him a little hope. Because they came out and they were playing pretty well. They stopped Henry up the middle, then 4-yard pass to Westbrook, and then
gave 3rd and 4,
bail him out, and then he scrambles for 17. And here we go, because Reddick kept overrunning the play. It's like, look, man, Tannehill is a former tight end. He can run.
Right.
He's big. He's like 6'4", 6'5". He's kind of like Josh Allen type stats. Like, this is a big quarterback, man. So I just thought a couple times Reddick bailed him out with some overzealous rushes, if you will. I thought we made it a little easy for him. And then I thought he started looking for it. And then we eventually did stop him a few drives later.
Well, you know what's interesting? You brought up a good point, is that I noticed that too. But then if you continue to watch the game, I watched the game back today. I got a chance to look at it. Hassan, after that drive where he gives up a couple times and gives Tannehill the edge, they started to stunt where Hassan started to come inside and Fletch started to go outside.
That was awesome.
And it made a big difference because you're getting Hassan inside pressure. And then they started to stunt. Then they started to edge rush with Hassan Reddick and Sweat coming both off the edge, but pinching in the middle, whether they were containing, but they were meeting at Tannehill. No, and both of these things worked. So I will give Gannon credit. I give Gannon a lot of flack because of the soft shell, and everybody knows it. If you listen to this podcast, it is what it is. And all you have to do is watch the games to see it. But I will give credit to Gannon when he does well. And in this game, outside of the 10 points they gave up, in the second half especially, they changed up the defense to the point where they got rid of that quarterback run. They limited their mistakes, and once Tannehill had to throw, he couldn't make the passes. I mean, they just weren't there. He had that one to their tight end. I can't pronounce his name. Was it Okuninu or whatever his name is, but they had the pass to the tight end that was really big. But other than that, it wasn't much. But it was funny because Seth Joyner said this. This was during the game. This was at like 2:00, so it was about the time when I think the Titans' second scoring possession happened. Seth Joyner tweeted this out, and he gets a little bit of flack from the Eagles fans for this. And he says, "Okay, I'm done. I don't want to hear about situational football, stats, or the 10-1 record, win, lose, or draw." # Gannon has no aggressive DNA in him. 3rd and 4th and long situations are beyond predictable. 4-man rush with zone coverage behind it. Jeez. Now, this is echoing exactly what we've said all year. So while this worked against the Titans, and I'm glad that the players were able to make plays, it does worry me in a big game situation. When we get into a big game opponent, like say the 49ers down the road. I know they lost Garoppolo, but they're far from done. The Cowboys, etc. You know, that where we have to in a close game, and we have to get some defensive stops, and we're not getting front four pressure like we did against the Titans. The front four pressure on Sunday was amazing. I mean, all you got to give your hats off to every single guy on that defensive line. Even if they didn't get a sack, they were generating pressure on Tannehill. I mean, Sue, while it wasn't, you know, his name wasn't being said, if you really watch the tape back, you'll see how many times guys got sacks because of Sue.
Because he's disruptive.
Exactly. He was leaving it open for Hargrave to get sacks. He was having them pinch in to try to stop him, and it was leaving Sweat and Reddick on the outside able to get sacks. So it was a great job by Sue. It was unbelievable. Defensively, you got to take their hats off to everybody on that defense for again. And let's not even forget our backups. Josiah Scott had a heck of a game, didn't get taken advantage of. Reed Blankenship, right before the half, made two stops on second and third down to force the Titans to punt and go three and out right before the half after the Eagles had scored to take a 21-10 lead. Blankenship coming up big for C.J. Gardner-Johnson right now.
Yeah.
Unbelievable for what, seventh round, or actually he was undrafted rookie, isn't he?
Undrafted.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah,
Bradbury had a few deflections, a couple key knockdowns too early in the game. And I thought the defense, you know, I'm going to go to the Seth Joyner thing because this is what triggered the conversation or part of the conversation. You know me, man. I think that's something that you should do when you can have that type of energy when we're 2-5. But right now, man, we're 11-1. Relax. It's just you're an Eagle. Like, you're an Eagle legend. You know, you don't want to speak out of school all the time, but we're in this look at me type of, you know, environment, man. You're speaking out of school. Remember, I told you we Eagles Mafia, man. We can understand, we can criticize, but you don't also have to go so hard at the defensive coordinator that when you see him, it's goofy now because you went so hard. I don't care about 10-1. Well, all of those things they are important to the game. Sir, that's why people are telling you this, Seth Joyner. Sir, you know, the football is not that drastically different from you play, but this is a different game. People are looking at different schemes. You ain't seen nothing like what these offenses are running in the NFL today. But yeah, man, I just don't like when we really try to hurt the Eagles too much. It's like, do that if we're 2-7, 2-8, but we still have to support Gannon because he is doing a good job. Like, he is, if Gannon is bad, the Eagles are putting up monstrous numbers on everybody. So what are their defensive coordinators getting cussed out about? We have a lot of bend but don't break. A lot of it was gap assignments with the run, something Gannon can't control. And now that we have Sue and Joseph in, Joseph started this last game, you saw the difference because it's about gap control. We shut down Derrick Henry. I didn't even know he played.
Right.
You have to give him credit for that.
Yeah.
So that's why this makes this tweet poor timing. Maybe after a loss, you can get one off. But Eagles are flying this high.
Yeah.
You bring in that negative energy so mightily with your platform and the love that you get from the city, man. Don't waste your bullets, is my point.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I'll be honest with you. I don't know what's wrong with me this year. I think that out of all the seasons, even the Super Bowl season in 17, I may be anxious about this team, and I know how good they are, but there's something that just makes me afraid that the wheels are going to fall off, because I've seen this happen to other teams that get this monstrous record. Remember the Steelers when they went 11-0? A lot of people bring that up. But this isn't the Steelers. This team, when you look at it from top to bottom, especially on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, to be without Dallas Goedert and to do what they did to the Titans, it can't be over, you know, emphasized. And then the defense, like you said, they're second in the league at 296 yards. They lead the league in turnover ratio. So you have to take that with a grain of salt. That that Gannon is doing some right things. My concern is just the fact that when we get against a good team, like, you know, the Packers dropped 33 on us, and when we have those games where we let Jordan Love come down the field and score 10 points because we're playing shell or we're taking the foot off the gas, got into a debate with a Cowboys fan about the Eagles' victory and tried to say that the Cowboys nearly won that game. I'm like, oh, no, you didn't. That game was never in doubt unless if Gannon especially doesn't take his foot off the gas and allow those two quick scores. But when the Eagles had to have that victory, they put the hammer down and had that long drive to win that game against the Cowboys. That game was was a domination with a small switch of momentum a little bit that got the Cowboys back in it. But enough said about that. Back to this game, because the defense did their job. 10 points, unbelievable. Didn't give up anything after 3 minutes in the second quarter as far as the Titans moving the ball at all. But this game was about one guy, and that's the name of this episode is AJ's Revenge. And oh my good, wasn't he fun to watch on Sunday? He has been fun to watch all year. The guy is a beast. He is a monster on the field, and he had so many great moments. And this is the GM, the J-Rob, that just got fired today, the general manager of the Titans.
Yeah.
Just got dropped.
Yeah.
Yep.
No way.
After the Eagles game. And so there's AJ, this little caption. And this is our title screen for this episode. You never should have traded me. And then, yeah, that wasn't my best idea. And it really, honestly, after that game, to see what happened, it is what got him fired. Now, AJ came out today and at bad timing, put out some T-shirts that with him as the Terminator. And people thought he was talking about getting that guy fired. And AJ said AJ had to come back out and say, look, I never kick a man when he's down. That was not my intent to do anything like that. This shirt was already done. He goes, it was a play on when he was throwing up and his eyes turned red. So that's where it came from. It had the red eyes, so people were calling him the Terminator. So he had a shirt made. And it's just bad timing that he put the shirt out the same day that the Titans general manager gets fired for letting him go. But look at these numbers, man. A.J. Brown on Sunday, 8 receptions, another plus 100-yard day, 119 yards, and 2 touchdowns. What a godsend. I mean, I think the Eagles would be winning games this year without A.J., but I don't think they would have been dominant. I don't think they would have been as good of a team without him, if we were sitting back there with Jalen Reagor again in that situation. But the one I really want to focus on, the first touchdown he had was amazing, because he ran over the defensive back because he just juked him and then put him on the ground and was wide open in the end zone. Just a beautiful, and you couldn't even call offensive pass interference because the guy was just in the way. He juked him, and AJ came back, and you're just right in my way, and he runs him over and then ends up in the end zone. This is the one against Avery that I was blown away. My wife was sitting in the room watching this, and she's like, how good is that guy? That's what she said to me. I was like, yeah, he's pretty good to be able to have a guy. And there was no flag on this play, which blows me away. Guy's got his arms wrapped around him in a bear hug, and AJ is able to put his hands out and make this catch for a touchdown in the end zone. What a monster, and what a fantastic player to be able to do that. And really, those scores, when they were able to get that score at the end of the half, that one happened in the third quarter, but to get that score at the end of the half to make it 21-10, it was already going into halftime. The Titans already had their heads down. I mean, they're only down by 11, and you could already see the body language shifting.
Yep.
So it was just, yeah, the Eagles had a really, all the mistakes aside, all the penalties aside, They just had a feel about them. It just had a killer instinct. It was amazing.
Yeah, man. AJ. Man, it's better. I know if you're a Titans fan, my buddy's a Titans fan out here, and I know he's salty. He didn't even come down and watch the game with me, man. He told me all week, hey, man, I'm gonna come down and watch the game with you. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then the night before, he texts me, man, not going to make it. Well, good for him, because he definitely saved some gas money, let me tell you. Because it would have been a long drive back home to after that one. Because that was an ass whooping, man. I thought it was going to be a lot closer to that, only because I was still wasn't convinced if we can stop the run. No, don't get me wrong. Gannon deserves criticism, and people are right. It does look like, you know, the defense could cost us a game down the line at the worst possible moment. And all that said, being true, I'll still say just wait when it happens, then we'll talk about it after if it happens. But don't anticipate it, because you start to put your doubt in your own players. But yeah, man, a lot of positives from this game, man. T.J. Edwards, hell of a game.
Yep.
N'Kobe Dean, you said our backups. N'Kobe Dean as well, too. He came right in. Played a solid game. Did you see the replay where he's getting blocked and he tackles Henry with one arm?
Yes.
While getting blocked. He's falling back and still tackles Derrick Henry. Last time I checked, the biggest back in football. But, you know, and he tackles him with one arm, man. He just had a, you know, look, he comes on the third quarter, second half, and just performs, man. People have been calling for him all year. Take the bubble wrap off of Dean. Let's see him play. But, you know, we're in that 3-4 kind of scheme with the edge rushers. He doesn't fit that scheme because obviously you need TJ out there. I think TJ's having an all-pro season. And then you have Kaiser White and Hassan, man, that are doing what we need them to do, what we got them for. Kaiser's been great in coverage. But, yeah, man, shout out to N'Kobe Dean, man. Some key plays, key stops. You start to see 17 get in there. He's not a really big linebacker, but he makes incredible plays. Like I said, tackling Derrick Henry with one arm is impressive.
Yeah, he's amazingly strong and shifty. And the thing is that was one of my big gripes with Gannon. And one of the things that we have is just that just get him in. We just said just rotate him in, and we haven't seen him at all. And it took an injury to Kazir White for N'Kobe Dean to come in, and he is what we thought he was. This guy is a third round, or actually, let's say a second round talent, maybe even a first round talent that we got in the third round as a steal because of his injury. And I think one of the things they've been holding back is they didn't want to get him out there and get him hurt in his rookie season. But now that's done. He's out there. We know what he's capable of. So I honestly do think there was some shifts in the team when these injuries happened, and I think Dean was a big part of them shutting them down in the third quarter and the rest of the game. I also think on the offensive line, because we had Dickerson go down and Dillard came in. And I mentioned to you, have you noticed that when Dickerson went out, we really started to protect Jalen Hurts really well. Not that they weren't before. I'm not saying that Dillard should start over Dickerson. I'm just saying I don't worry about Dillard anymore. I think every time Dillard has come in, he has played solidly. And the only thing that I ever see Dickerson is when he gets called for a false start or a holding penalty. Not that he's not doing his job. I love Dickerson. I love these guys. I love the entire offensive line. I think they're doing an amazing job. I'm just saying that it rotating in Dillard is not going to hurt us if it happens. But there's one other guy that we haven't mentioned that actually stood out, and we have to give credit where credit is due because we give this guy a lot of flack. And that is Britton Covey. Britton Covey, who we have as our punt returner and have said he gives us absolutely nothing. He had three very good punt returns, 43 times, and he had a total of 105 punt return yards. And that total are the second most in a game this year, trailing only the Jets' Marcus Jones in Week 11, who had 109 punt return yards. So props to Britton Covey. He finally gave us something and showed what he could do and maybe why the Eagles tend to keep trotting him out there. And hopefully we see more of it. I want more out of Britton Covey. I want to get more. And the drives that we started on the other side of the 40, for the most part, were successful drives because we didn't have to go the length of the field. And that makes a huge difference when you're trying to score points, is to be able to start near midfield. It's amazing what field position does for you.
Indeed.
One thing I wanted to say about our two wide receivers before we're still on the topic, though, because Devontae Smith, even though it was AJ, is the one who stood out. Devontae had a touchdown as well and also had 100 receiving yards. And so it kind of gets lost in the shuffle with as many Eagles as having a good day as there were. But A.J. Brown, according to the statistic here, and Devontae Smith are the first Eagles duo to have 100-plus receiving yards each in the same game since Nelson Agholor did it with Zach Ertz on December 23rd, 2018 against Houston. So to have 200-yard receivers is big stuff. So I do want to bring that up. And on the defensive side, want to give them – or actually, again, going back to the offense, sorry. The Titans defense had held opponents on 8 straight teams to 20 or fewer points, which is the second longest streak in the NFL over the last 10 years. Now think about that. The Titans defense had held 8 straight teams to 20 or fewer points, including the Bengals. The second longest streak in the NFL over that's second longest in the last 10 years. The Eagles scored 21 points in the first half alone.
What's that, man? Just efficiency, man. Efficiency. We have a hell of an offense, man. And I like the play calling. You know, this game, I thought the play calling was a lot better than some previous games. Man, I was mainly surprised, you know, you showed the AJ catch earlier and stuff. Like, how many one-on-ones? You mentioned how many one-on-ones and just, I mean, Devontae was just having a field day out there. He was just able to run free, cut back. He was like the glue to the whole game. And then AJ made the big plays. Like he has for us all year, man. So I'm sure AJ is thrilled to be having 9 touchdowns. I mean, who would have thought that AJ was going to have, you know, looking like double digit touchdowns, man. It was looking like Hurts was going to go for over 400 on that game. And that's so crazy to go from 350 last week. And really, if he doesn't get benched, because we're doing so good. And I want to say something about these Cowboys. Now, I know y'all think y'all cute because y'all ran up the score on the Colts, but that thing was 29-19.
21-19.
In the fourth quarter. Yes, 21-19 in the fourth quarter. So talk to me when you benching everybody because you're just playing that well.
And let's point out, because I watched that game too, that was 21-19, and Dak Prescott had just thrown an interception that was overturned by the officials. And Indy didn't challenge it, and it was very, very close. The announcers, of course, Collinsworth had it hit the ground, whatever. Collinsworth is a genius. I looked at it and went, I think they should have challenged that. If that interception is overturned and it's given to the Colts, game could have turned out entirely different. Because like you said, that was the fourth quarter. As it was, the Cowboys get that ball, keep the ball, score, immediately get another turnover, and then, yeah, just start running up the score on the Colts. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing is when we're talking about Dallas, you know, it is – as us Eagles fans, we can temper our expectations and be realistic. We don't sit here and yell Super Bowl in people's faces or right. We them boys. And we don't get overly excited over meaningless wins. If you think the Indianapolis Colts game is bad – you wait until this week when they play the Texans at home in Dallas Stadium and they're favored by 17 and right. Watch them win and start chanting Super Bowl over again because you know they will. That's who they are as most Cowboys fans.
Best thing we can do is hit them in the mouth on Christmas Eve. I mean, bro, it's not going to be – I bet it's sold out.
Oh, already. Yeah, it's going to be insane.
It's such a massive game. No matter what happens, it'll be 2-0. Well, either way, the Eagles don't come out down.
Right.
They'll come out super up with the ultra tiebreaker, or we'll sort out the rest of it 1-1. Because Jerry World's going to be rocking. You know it is going to be rocking. Eagles fans do travel well. I've seen Niners fans go into Jerry's World and all you see is red jerseys. So Dallas fans, y'all still have to show up because y'all let the birds in the building and they feel like a home game in there. Y'all going to have a long day, man, because Cowboys still struggle to stop the run a little bit.
Yep.
They still struggle to stop the run a little bit. Parsons went like a whole game without a tackle. He's disruptive, but sometimes you can just go around him and play like the Eagles did. We played around him. So anyway, we'll get to that when the preview.
Yeah, we will preview it. I do want I do want to bring up one thing, because I was thinking about it today, was if the Eagles lose that game, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, they're on enemy territory. The Cowboys are going to have bragging rights. Mm-hmm. But it's very, very likely that the Eagles and the Cowboys may meet up again in the playoffs, no matter who gets the number one seed. They're going to play three times this year. And the odds in NFL history of beating the same opponent three times in an NFL season is almost astronomical. I don't know what they are. I'll have them for a future.
Hey, you know the last time it happened, right? They did it to us.
Yeah.
They did it to us. They beat us. They swept us. They beat us in the playoffs. I'll never forget talking to Chief Williams. This is when we were in England about it. Like, oh, my goodness.
So,
man. Like, I cannot believe we lost the Cowboys three times in one year.
Yeah. It doesn't happen often. So it's one of those things that I do want to win that game. I just say let the chips fall where they may. Whatever happens, happens. Exactly. You can't
one game at a time.
You can't look too much into it. It is going to be a fun game. It's going to be a huge game, and it won't settle anything. The thing is, the Eagles have to do is continue to take care of business. They've got the Giants this week. We're going to preview that on Thursday on the road, and then which is really not really on the road. It's just up the road from the link. And then you've got the going to Chicago. You've got to win those two games so that when we go into Dallas, they're still up two. So even if they do lose that game, they're still up one with two games to go. And, oh, by the way, two home games. So these next five games are crucial the way it goes. But and we'll get there when we do talk about Dallas down the road. But, yeah, this is Jalen's performance on Sunday. It's 380 yards, like you said, three passing TDs and one rushing TD. He's the first player in team history with 350 passing yards, three passing TDs, and one rushing TD in a game for the Eagles. So if anybody is still doubting Jalen Hurts or they're still not completely sold on this guy, Eagles fans, I'm not seeing you anymore. You were pretty vocal early in the season. Oh, this guy hasn't played anybody, or this guy is just a runner. I think you need to check yourself, because Jalen is the real deal, and he's going to continue to produce. Also, as far as Jalen is concerned, he has now already hit a season high, a career high for Jalen Hurts in total touchdowns. He has 20 passing touchdowns on the season, and he has nine rushing touchdowns. So 29 touchdowns, career high, and we still got five games left. So just bragging on the guy. Like I said, if you haven't gotten on the bandwagon yet, you need to look into it, because Jalen is the real deal. Back to our defense before we head out of here. I want to bring this up. We've been talking about our corners a lot this year, and we're talking about our defensive backs coach and how well he has been coaching scheme and how well Bradbury and Slay have done this year. And I just want to put this stat up there. Darius Slay and James Bradbury were targeted a combined four times in the win over the Titans. They allowed zero catches, 0 yards, two breakups, and a 39.6 rating, which I don't get the whole DB rating. I think you have to have an interception for it to get down to zero or whatever. But think about that when you're talking about who the best team is. You know, going back to the Cowboys, ESPN First Take puts out, who's got the best chance to make it the Super Bowl? Cowboys 50%, Eagles 30%. Okay. All right. You're obviously not basing this on statistics, because if you were, you wouldn't be seeing things like this. You're just not really, you're not really looking at the stats, and you're not really watching the games. That's all I'm saying.
Yo, have you ever noticed the Croatian flag attached to all the, not all, but a lot of the hashtag Eagles? Like, if you bring that last slide back up, yeah. Did you notice the Croatian flag going? I noticed it on Twitter all the time. I'm like, why is this? Every time somebody hashtag Eagles,
what's that?
There's like, I think that's like Croatia. I'm like, there's like the Croatian flag. I'm like, why are they putting it in? But you'll see it all over Twitter.
Maybe
you'll see this Croatian flag.
There's a Croatian
hashtag Eagles.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
We'll have it.
You know, Jeff.
We'll get an answer. We'll get an answer before the next podcast. Also, who also had a career, has reached a career high this year, is Javon Hargrave. With his sacks on Sunday, has now reached 8 sacks for the year. And that's the most he's ever had in a season. And again, we still got 5 games to go. Right now, if you look at our sack numbers for our defensive line, you've got Brandon Graham with 5.5 sacks. You've got Fletcher Cox with 5 sacks. Hargrave with 8. Hassan Reddick, which we all knew he was going to be a beast coming into the season, with 9 sacks. And Josh Sweat with 6.5. I mean, come on, boys. That's a front four. That's a front four and a half. And now you've got Sue and Linval Joseph in there as well. Speaking of Sue, real quick, this is a tweet he put out this week. I love this. He said, just gets better and better. This is after the Titans game. Feels like I made the right choice. That's on a Monday morning, Victory Monday, and Ndamukong Suh looking at, I made the right choice. This is he's looking at winning another championship, and it's why he came to Philly. So, yeah, I think you made the right choice, Ndamukong Suh. I really do. Before we get out of here, because we've heaped enough praise on the Eagles for winning 35-10 over the Titans, we have something we haven't done in a while, and this is a fun one. This is a segment that I always love, and it's our... So this is our Hell to the Naw segment, which is basically a segment where we discuss some things that just ain't right. That just ain't right in the league. It could be something for the Eagles, against the Cowboys, or whoever. But this is just not right, but it's brilliant. It is why we love Jason Kelce if you're an Eagles fan. And it was Jason Kelce showing up to the game on Sunday. And what's funny is I follow Jason Kelce on Twitter, and he posted a picture of Doug Whitmore from 51st Date. So for all those that just listened to the podcast, picture we have up is Jason Kelce wearing the exact duplicate outfit of Doug Whitmore, the character in 51st Dates. And he's got the fishnet type half shirt with the weightlifting belt, the Bermuda shorts. It's just absolutely brilliant. Sean Astin actually tweeted today in response, who played Doug Whitmore, if you didn't know, Jason Kelce definitely wore it better. And then Jason came back with, oh my God, I'm such a huge fan of Sean Astin. Rudy is one of our all-time favorite movies.
It is Rudy.
It is Rudy, yeah. So, yeah, Jason Kelce doing his, channeling his Sean Astin. You got to love the guy. Each and every week, he comes up with another thing to just impress us. It just make us laugh. For the Giants preview, I am going to play my favorite moment of the Philly Special Christmas album. I listened to it in its entirety this weekend, and it's all light awesome, especially if you're an Eagles fan. It is pure Philadelphia Eagle magic, Christmas magic. Merrill Reese reading The Night Before Christmas.
That's be cool.
It is incredible, but... there is a great moment with a lot of the Eagles players in it outside of the main three that participate that you just have to hear. So we will cover that on our episode previewing the Giants, which is going to be coming up on Thursday. We're going to cover big one, another big one. They don't stop getting big in this part of the season, especially when you're winning. We are on a mission right now. This team is definitely on a mission. They hear all the rumbles. They heard everything that was said about them going into the Titans game. They mentioned about it afterwards. That's the difference between the Eagles and the Cowboys. Let's just put it out right there. Cowboys like to talk. They like to say a lot about how good they are. The Eagles don't say nothing. They prove it on the field. And that's what they're doing each and every week. And this is another big one. They've got a division opponent. They have not played the Giants yet this year. It's a division game on the road. It's going to be a hostile environment. The Giants, the Commanders, tied, which is awesome. If you're an Eagles fan, there's nothing better than a tie between division opponents. It's a win-win. It's the best case scenario. So, but the Eagles got to come away with a win on this one. This is a definite must-win heading into Dallas week. This can't overlook it. And that's going to be up Sunday at MetLife Stadium in New York. And we are going to cover that for you on Thursday. So, yeah, big win. Philadelphia Eagles, 35-10 over the Titans. Could have been much, much worse. Unbelievable. Hold Derrick Henry to just 36 yards rushing, somewhere in that net. It's unbelievable that what they did to him compared to this man being just a monster. So they're going to have to do the same to Saquon Barkley. Thank you to everyone who listens to the Where Eagles Dare podcast on the podcast providers, where we have Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Podcaster Castro, and so many others. And for all those that join us on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch, please tell your friends and make sure you subscribe so that you always get notified when we go live. With all that being said, I am going to turn it over to Tubby for his final words of the night.
Once again, thank everybody for stopping by the Wherever We Are podcast. Like and subscribe. Let us come back. And as we check out this, this preview with the Giants, man, excited. Eagles 11-1. Life is good. Fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. We'll see you on Thursday, guys.